How y'all doing, church? How y'all doing? Are you doing good? Good. We should be. Because our God is great. Our God is great. I so love the songs that the worship team sang this morning to help bring perspective for us. That He is God and He's God alone. He is unchangeable. He is unstoppable. He is unshakable. Can't mess with Him. See, if you're in Him, you ought to be able to say, you can't mess with me either. You mess with me, you're going to mess with Him. And that's a whole nother revelation to catch. Yeah. I'm grateful to what God is doing. And this morning, I want to continue with our thought, because we're going to stay here just until I'm sure we're really getting it. And that is this thought of the divine intention of synchronized destinies. We are connected for a reason. The divine intention of synchronized destinies. We are connected for a reason. Last week I talked about Paul. And if you remember, we talked about how that when Paul has had his encounter at the same time, the very same time, God was speaking to Ananias, and He was helping Ananias to know, I need to use you to speak some things to Saul, who's going to become Paul. And Paul's grace, Paul's anointing, was to the Gentiles. How many of you know that you have specific grace in your life for specific things that God has purposed to do in your life? How many of y'all know that? Come on, do you really know that? Because listen to me, it's going to be in those areas that you will excel. Oftentimes, many people, let me say it a different way. See, we can have similar gifts, but not the same grace concerning the gift. Okay? The grace is there according to the measure of Christ, according to the gift that's operating in your life. That's why some people can sing and some people have a grace to really sing. And there's a difference, okay? Some people have a grace to dance and others have can dance, but not necessarily the grace to dance. Some have a grace to excel in certain areas, and some of us may just be able to do it just okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. What you want to be able to find is that grace spot for you. You want to be able to hone in on and connect in the place that aligns you with where the grace of God is operating in your life. We all have them. In this season of you and I discerning the divine intention of synchronized destinies, I want to tell you that is crucial right now for the body of Christ. I want to speak more specifically. It's crucial for us as a house to identify our place, identify our role, identify our function. Right now, God is moving and shifting His church. He's shifting His body, and He's shifting members into new places, even into new locations. That's why, for some, there's this kind of stirring around what God wants to do in my life right now. Where am I supposed to be? How am I to be connected? I'm convinced of this, and I don't make this a judgment statement, but I'm convinced that my life is better because I've been able to navigate through seasons that moved me into different areas and different places and connected me with different people. When I think of the church that I grew up in as a small child, if I was still in that church, I'd probably be just dead by now. I'm just being honest with you, and I know that we're live streaming, but most of those folks don't live stream, so they won't ever really. And I'm not saying the church that I grew up in, so I'm trying to clean it up. So here's the thing. You hear my point? Yeah. When 1 year I went back, they invited me back to speak on a Sunday morning, and they had this placard, Pastor Arnold, of all the people who had died on the wall in the sanctuary. And I'm thinking, why would you do that? But if that's your focus, you know, the folks that are dead and gone that used to be here, then that's what you're going to focus on. But I have this sense that we are in a season of God repositioning in order to synchronize destinies for the greatest manifestation of His power and His glory that the world has ever seen. I need about five of y'all just to clap like you really believe what I'm saying right now. Because I'm not making this up. And I need you to recognize, because when we look at Paul, one of the things that God said concerning him, he told Ananias, I need you to connect with Saul so that he will understand the things that he must suffer through, the things that he must endure. You see, when you and I became a believer, it did not separate us from things that we would have to go through being a part of the world, being in the world, but not of the world. That's why, going back to something I said last week as well, that in Jeremiah 29, I believe it is, Jeremiah, when he's speaking to them and he's saying, you must now recognize you are going to be here a while. He's saying, you're going to be a part of this culture. You're going to be a part of this. This is God's will. Now, they were in a season of judgment, but I want to share something with you, that even in a season of judgment, there is grace and mercy meted out to bring you through that, whatever it is, okay? So what God was saying is, listen, you're going to have to be here a while. You're going to be here 70 years. He says, but I'm going to get you through this. And when you come out of it, you're going to come out wealthy. Now, that's what he tells them, even as he has moved them into bondage and captivity. But they would need to walk through it, and there needed to be a grace, and there was a grace extended to them. That grace would be manifested, though, as they not only heard the word, but they applied that word. Because what God said was, you're going to need to settle yourself in. You're going to need to build some houses, build your families, and I'm going to come back in 70 years and get you. That's exactly what he did. And so we've looked at that some time ago when we did our theme for the year was the year of God's good word fulfilled. Y'all remember that theme? Yeah. This is the year of his good word being fulfilled in my life. This is the year of his good word being fulfilled in my life. It's a year of increase and release, miraculous healing in his body and the earth. All the earth, a year of restitution and reconciliation. This is the year of his good word being fulfilled in my life. Tell somebody, this is the year of his good word being fulfilled in my life. Come on, that's prophetic. I just sang prophetically over y'all right now, because that word is still relevant even today. Even in the midst of all the stuff that's going on, I want to tell you that, and I'm going to look at a passage of scripture here in a moment to really bring home what the point that I want to make today around the divine intentions of synchronized destinies. I want to tell you that we are in a season of God pushing us into the next thing and the new thing that he has for us, okay? We also have to recognize that we are in a season where we have to deal with the dynamics. Now, on Wednesday night, and I want to thank all of you that came out this past Wednesday for our church meeting. I hope that it helped you. We are well on our way to accomplishing the things that God has purposed to do in us and through us from this location. Come on, just thank the Lord for that right now. Now, listen, but one of the things that I said on Wednesday that I need to rehearse in all of our hearing, if you happen to be here Wednesday, rehearse it again. If you weren't here, then I want to drive this point home as well, that we are on assignment. Say assignment. And so one of the things that I've taught on in the past as well is seasons that lead to greatness. Say seasons that lead to greatness. Come on, say it again. Seasons that lead to greatness. It's a matter of, okay, I didn't mean to cut you off. Say it one more time. Season. I'm just moving. One of the things that I said last week, I believe it was, and Pastor Jamal caught it and he posted it, or he kind of paraphrased it. But I made this statement around what if what you are going through right now in your life, everything that you're dealing with, is because God has purposed to bring revelation to you that you would not hear any other way except having gone through what he's taken you through, what he's brought you through. Now, that should be a word of encouragement because you don't want to focus on what you're going through as much as focus on getting on the other side of it and what God may want to do in you, through you, speak to you, show you as a result of it. That makes sense? Make no mistake, though, we are in a season of contradictions. We are in a season of opposition. Can you find that slide for me real quick and put that up on the screen? And it's important that you are aware of it. Say aware. Yeah. God would not have you and I be unaware. He wants us to be aware. Now, the thing is, be aware, but not overwhelmed. Be aware, but not overwhelmed. God wants to bring information to you and I. He wants you and I to understand what's going on, but not be overwhelmed. That's why, again, I love the songs that we sang this morning. Yeah. Because it helped us to be aware of how great our God is, how big our God is. Are you able to find that for me? I need that up there. Because if we can keep in our minds and keep before us what this is about, you'll navigate through it a whole lot better. Every day, you have to get up as a victor and not a victim. I'm gonna say that again. Every day, you have to get up as a victor and not a victim. You need to be able to talk to yourself, get your mind right, get your heart right, and step into your day as a victor and not a victim. You want to get up every morning and tell yourself that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be successful in your day. You want to get up every morning and recognize that his mercies are new every morning. And you want to get up every morning recognizing that his grace is sufficient to help you with anything that you will face. And so when you get up, you want to get up speaking that. You want to get, while you're getting dressed, you're telling yourself, this is going to be the most prosperous day that I've had. This is going to be the most successful day that I've had. You want to begin to shape your morning before you walk out the door. The spiritual dynamics of walking out a word, that's the term that I used. And this is where many, many of us find ourselves. I want to tell you that this is where we find ourselves as a house, heirs. And the reason why is because we did not come here to just have a place to worship. We came here to transform the communities. We came here to advance the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying that other churches aren't doing that. Truth is, I don't know what other churches are doing. All I know is what God has spoke to me as an apostle and what he's called this house to do as a training center. And so it's important for us to remain aware that, listen, I've said this before, but I need to keep it before you so that you stay in a place of victory. The moment you sign on the line to walk out what God has purposed to do in your life, you need to recognize you're going to find yourself in seasons of contradiction. When you make that pledge or how you want to bless somebody, all of a sudden your finance is going to get crazy or look crazy or something comes up out of nowhere. All kinds of things start to happen. You're going to find yourself in a place of oppositions as well. And so when you read this and you look at these are not just bullet points to try to be clever in what's being communicated. These are actual things that you and I must be mindful of. And I think what I'll do is I'm just going to take the time and we're going to do an insert for next week that really deals with seasons that lead to greatness. And we're going to put all these points in there for you. If you've been a part of Heirs any amount of time, you should already understand it. I'm just reminding you of this because right now, I mean, from the time we made this move here, it started getting crazy day one. Come on, y'all didn't. It just started getting crazy, looking crazy, feeling crazy, everything else. But I'm telling you, a shift has happened. I said a shift has happened. Not happening, a shift has happened. You can feel it in the atmosphere. You can feel it in the atmosphere. I'm so grateful. I'm used to coming in an hour and a half before service even gets going. I'm used to coming in just kind of sitting by myself. I did that today. I came in and just sat on this front pew and just talked to the Lord about today. I'm used to doing that. I'm used to just getting my own time in before having to spend time with you and him. So, because I need that. It's kind of like the fine tuning of where we're going today, Father. I'm so grateful that God is working things the way that he is. But make no mistake, you will find yourself, and many of us have found ourselves in a place of contradiction. But look at somebody and say, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was talking with someone recently, and we were talking about these seasons right here. And the season that says, a time that tests your belief in God's word and his ability to perform it. The person I was talking with, she said this. She said, you know, it isn't really whether we think he can do it. What we struggle with is he willing to do it for us? How many of you ever said, man, it seems like I can believe God for everybody else's stuff, but when it comes to mine, it just gets a little something, something. You know, it's kind of like, but you can stretch faith out for everybody else, but when it comes to you, you just start kind of, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. That's the enemy trying to make you feel like you're not worthy. It's the enemy trying to make you think through stuff that's happened that causes you to feel like you're disqualified. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Couldn't tell the truth if his life depended on it. He's a liar. And he's defeated. Recognize that we will find ourselves, and often in the season right now, that seasons of opposition. I've had to navigate through in this season of critical spirits, just critical. I mean, yeah, just critical. You learn to navigate through it. So we're going to make this available to you because I need you to get it on the inside. I need you to be aware. Be aware. I need you to be aware. I want you to be aware that in this season we're in, the Lord spoke to me when I was sitting here again this morning, and he said this. He said, tell the body that you have entered a three-month window, June, July, August. It will be as if a window has opened for restoration, for reconciliation, and restitution. Now, I'm going to say that again. He said, tell them that you have entered a three-month window, June, July, August. And during this time, during this season, during the time of this window, will be a season of restoration, reconciliation, and restitution. Now, I don't know about you, but I still need God to restore some things. I still need God to reconcile some things, and I sure enough need some restitution to happen. And so this is the prophetic part of the message right now, that you give yourself to these 3 months, June, July, August, with this thought in mind, that there is this window open, and during this time, I will press into and I will believe for restoration, I will believe for reconciliation, and I will believe for restitution. that at the end of August, there will be testimony after testimony of restoration, reconciliation, and restitution. Now, I'm just going to clap right now for myself, and you can decide to do what you want to do with this word that I'm giving you. Because I believe that one of the reasons why we're dealing with the opposition is because the enemy doesn't want us to be able to focus on the windows of opportunity that are before us. You have to know that that's the way the enemy works. The moment that God has structured and set things to bring you forward is the moment the enemy's going to try to distract you, so you're looking over here and you miss here. But I prophesy some of you are going to hear more clearly than you've ever heard over this season of time. But here's the key. You're going to have to be willing to respond to what you hear. Some of you are going to see more accurately than you've ever seen before. But you're going to have to be willing to respond to what you see. Say obedience. Come on, say obedience. Obedience is the key. When we talk about the divine intention of synchronized destinies, we are connected for a reason. Right now, God is positioning and God is moving in order to establish a new order that's going to bring forth a harvest unlike the world has known. God has purpose to bring forth harvest in these surrounding communities and in this city. He brought us here to be a part of it. In the midst of it, God's going to begin to show forth signs and miracles. Because those that come will see the power of God demonstrated in our midst. And lives will be changed in an instant. I need somebody to clap right about now. The divine intention of synchronized destinies. We're in a three-month window. The window is open. Season of restoration, reconciliation, restitution. God has a way of keeping us in the midst of these challenging times. In 2 Kings 4, and you don't have to turn there, just listen to me. In 2 Kings 4, around verse 32, the prophet Elijah was called on by the Shulamite woman because prior to this scenario, she, along with her husband, had built this kind of like a prophet's quarter for him, and he would come and stay there, and he prophesied that she would have a child. Now, when he prophesied that, she was like, look, don't mess with me, don't mess with me, I ain't asked for that. But a year later, she had a child. Some years later, that child, now of a certain age, the scripture says that the child had a really bad headache, and the child died. When the child died, she was very distraught, of course. She was very upset, because in her mind, she said, I didn't ask for this. So she makes her way to the prophet, because he's going to straighten this out. On her way, she's going, and I want to speak to you a little bit about the progression of moving to a place of total faith. Because as she starts out her journey, there are those that ask her, is everything okay? And what does she say? First, she says, listen, it will be well. Come on, say, it will be well. It will be well. That's good to know. It will be well. But there's another place that you can align with. That's another place of faith. It's a different place of maturity in God. You can live all your life thinking it will be well. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. But as she got closer to the man of God, and the man of God sent word to her, like, are you okay? Is your son okay? Is your husband okay? This time she says, it is well. Now, somewhere in her journey, she went from it will be well to it is well. And she gets to him and she says, look, my son has died. And I'm picking this up in 2 Kings 4, verse 32, because Elijah, he makes his way there. First, he sends his servant in, but the child remains dead. So it picks up here, 32. It says, when Elijah came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and he shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and he lay on the child and he put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth. And he went up and stretched himself on him and the lad sneezed seven times. Say seven times. Seven times, and the lad opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, call this Shulamite. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, take up your son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. The prophet, by the power of God, had brought her son back to life. But let's fast forward, because here's one of the points that I'm wanting to help us get today as believers. You're going to walk through seasons of testing, and you've got to trust and believe God to bring you on the other side of it in victory. And be assured that he is orchestrating how it is to come about. So, 2 Kings, the 8th chapter now. Now, in this scenario, things have changed. But now he's still talking to the same woman. Now, Elijah spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go with your household and sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called a famine and it will even come on the land for 7 years. Say 7 years. That number seven speaks of completion. It speaks of perfection. So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God, and she went with her household and she sojourned into the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, she left her possessions. Say she left her possessions. She left all of her land, all of her property. But she was following a word that she had gotten from God through the prophet that a famine is coming and you are not to have to go through the famine. And so she leaves for 7 years. Say 7 years. I want you to keep in mind, I'm talking about a three-month window here of restoration, reconciliation, and restitution. I'm wanting to build your faith and your expectation that over these next 3 months, you're going to have some divine encounters. You're going to have the synchronized destinies happen in order to bring about what God has said. Are you with me? And so it says, at the end of the 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went out to appeal to the king for her house and her field. So she returned 7 years later. Say 7 years later. She returned 7 years later, and now she wants her stuff back. Now, she didn't leave because she was evicted. She left because the word came to her that there's a famine coming and you need to get somewhere safe. And when she comes back, there's something that's happening. And I love how you can read in the text and see this kind of dynamic that's taking place. So she comes back. And when she gets back, it goes on and says this. Now the king was talking with Gehazi. Now who is that? That's the same guy. That's with the prophet. Now look at this. The servant of the man of God saying, please relate to me all the great things that Elijah has done. He's saying, you know, I've heard about this guy, Elijah. Tell me some stuff about him. Tell me some stories. You got any good stories about him? And Gehazi is saying, man, I got one. I'm telling you, you're going to love this one. I got a story of stories. The man of God prophesied to her that she's going to have a baby. She had the baby. As he grew up, he got sick and died. And then she sent word to him to come and raise up the baby. The king's like, no, you kidding, you kidding. No, I'm telling you the truth. I was there. And so I told Elijah, you're going to have to do this yourself because I went in and ain't nothing happened. I'm just paraphrasing you. I'm trying to bring it into a perspective so you can visualize it. Right while he's talking. Say at the very moment. The very moment. I'm talking about the divine intention of synchronized destinies. At the very moment that he's rehearsing this story about the woman and her son and the prophet raising up this child, guess who walks in the room? The woman with her child. I mean, can you imagine? He's like, and you know, and so right about, oh my God, that's her right. I can't, that's her right there. She comes in. Now she's coming in to make her appeal. She doesn't know that she's walking right into a moment of synchronized destinies. She's walking into a setup for God to bless her with that which he had already blessed her with, but sent her away 7 years, brought her back, walked her right up in a scenario when Gehazi is talking about her. I'm talking about you and I discerning the divine intention of synchronized destinies. What's the chances of that? I Googled it. No, I didn't, y'all. Y'all was like, a couple of y'all look like, what? Ooh, he going deep on this. Sylvia looked up like, oh my God. No, I didn't Google that, y'all. Didn't matter. What I'm wanting to stir in your heart is the expectation that before this day is out, you can have an encounter that God has set up. That's a part of divine synchronized destinies. That by tomorrow morning, by the time you get to work or throughout your day, I mean, we're talking about a 3-month window now of restoration, reconciliation, restitution. This lady was looking for restitution. She's looking for the land that she walked away from because of the famine that took place. And God walks her right up in there while this guy is giving her testimony. And so it goes on and says this. I'm reading a little further down. He says, my Lord. It's like, oh my God, King. This is the woman and this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life. When the king asked the woman, she related it to him. So the king appointed for her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the produce of the field from the day that she left the land even until now. He's saying everything she walked away from, the 7 years, she gets that back. She gets all, give her her land and everything that would have come with the 7 years had she stayed on the property. Come on, that's a good time to thank God for restoration, for reconciliation, and for restitution. It's those kind of divine encounters that we must begin to press into and believe God for. God never intended that our lives would just be in this mundane place. I'm glad to be saved. I'm going to heaven. But somebody's got to stand up and say, wait a minute. There's more for you. There's more for me. And believe that God can order your steps and walk you right up into a situation having set that scenario for you. I shared with you the testimony when we were young in our marriage, all of our kids, not all of our kids, because some of them weren't born yet, but I really needed a job. I needed a job bad. And how many of y'all remember the days when you used to look for jobs in the want ads? Is that just me? Okay. With the newsprint. Man, the newsprint was so small, you need a magnifying glass to see the jobs. And I would go through there and go through there and go through there, and I saw this real small ad for a printing company. And I've always had artistic thing, you know, I used to draw and paint and all that. So I looked at that, it was for a printing company though. And so it was real small, and you know what? You really, you know, and this is my world, because I graduated high school, but I didn't graduate college, okay? So don't have a college degree, so that kind of wiped out all those ads, okay? So I'm looking for the ones that says, you know, we'll train. On the job training. Okay, y'all know nothing about that, okay. So I'm praying into on the job training jobs. Kasha. She just got blessed with an incredible job. That's why I'm saying that. Would you thank the Lord for that? Come on. Yeah, she just got blessed, and maybe she'll be able to share that testimony in coming weeks. And so I look at that, I say, I'm going for that. But here's the challenge. When you look at the on-the-job training, we'll train, everybody shows up for that job. So when I get there and I pull up, boy, they lined out the door putting in applications. I turn around, my car, I'm leaving. And the Holy Ghost says, no, you go back, put in your application. I go back and I put in my application. Now, I'd like to think that I've always been a man of faith and power, but I was really doubting. George, I was like, you know, this is a waste of time. I filled out the application, okay? Got a call to come in for the interview. I was like, this is Jesus. At least I'm hoping it's Jesus. And I'll get there, and I'm sitting there with the guy, and I'll never forget. You know, this guy had a beard, and he sat there in interviews like this. You know, one of them, you can't read. He's asking me these questions, you know. Because, you know, when you go and you try to do your best interview voice and your best interview face and your best interview clothes and your best interview skills, and you're talking very articulate, even though, you know, if you're out in the hood, you do say it a different way. But, you know, you're in a different environment, so you're lining up with, you know. And so, he's asking me, you know, I didn't have experience, but I said, I'm a hard worker. I can learn fast. And right in the middle of it, right in the middle of this interview, this guy busted in the door to get him to sign off on something. And when the guy walks in the door, he looks at me and says, hey, John, how you doing? I said, hey, Brad, how you doing? Now, you have to know that this guy and I, we went to high school together, but we weren't friends. We didn't even really know each other. But in that moment, he knew me. I only need you to know me in the moment that's most important. I mean, you don't have to know me any other time. But in that moment, he busted in the door. Hey, John, how you doing? I said, hey, Brad, how you doing? I mean, it was the Holy Ghost. I couldn't have come up with his name had I saw him on the street if my life depended on it, because I just didn't hang out with him. Hey, Brad, how you doing? And then right then, the interviewer said, oh, y'all know each other? Yeah, we know each other. We went to school together. I mean, I started, yeah. Come on, say the divine intention for synchronized destiny. See what I'm telling you is just as God set up that scenario for the Shunammite woman to walk in at the time when Gehazi is giving her testimony, God set that up. Now, but in my mind, I'm thinking the odds are against me. And I'm about to miss what God's doing, because what I'm not recognizing is he's already set it up. He's already set it up, y'all. Okay, let me fast forward just a little, just another testimony real quick. I know some of you may not be able to relate to this either, but I've had multiple jobs until this one. And I was out of work. And I'm asking God, open the door for me. Open the door. Need a good job. Need benefits. And I was told about this agency, Franklin County Children's Services. that they were looking for men to work in the cottage with the boys. And again, no experience. And I go and I put in an application, and they call me for an interview. And wouldn't you know it, it was a four panel interview, four people. When I walked in that room, all I needed to see was one face that let me know the job was mine. And the guy that was sitting on the other side as part of that panel, I grew up with his son in his house. I almost walked in and said, "Hey, Dad." But I'm interviewing, so I had the interview voice and the interview clothes and the interview face. And when I sat down, his name was Reverend Harold Turner. I grew up with his son. We're best friends through all of high school. When I saw him, I knew that God had set that thing up for me to get that job. How many of you can believe that over the next 3 months, this window, that God will do that for you? If that's where you want to put your faith, I need you to stand with me right now. We're out of time. I want to pray for you. Come on, worship team. Where's my musician? Come on. That in this season, this window, restoration, reconciliation, restitution. Come on, right now, you begin to, in your own words, you begin to speak out. Now we're believing, this is the prophetic word. I believe this to be a word of the Lord. Over these next 3 months, June, July, August, restoration, reconciliation, restitution. Come on, say restoration.
Restoration.
Come on, reconciliation.
Reconciliation.
Restitution.
Restitution.
I need you to go to this is the year. Come on. Come on. Keep talking to the Lord right now. Keep talking to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Keep talking to the Lord right now. Keep talking to the Lord right now. The same way that God moved for the woman to receive back her property in that scenario, God's moving that way even today. Some of you have your own testimonies of synchronized destinies, how God walked things out for you, put you into place at the right time. I want to tell you that as a house, He's placed us here at the right time. Right now, we're having to navigate through some of the season of contradiction and the season of opposition. But we're navigating through it. We're going to get on the other side of it, and we're going to see all that God has intended to do. Amen? I want to tell you that these next 3 months are about you. These next 3 months are about you. There's some of you under the sound of my voice, one of the challenges you have in the area of job or employment or your finances. I want you to make the commitment that over the next 3 months, that's your declaration is going to be that's your breakthrough. That you're going to have the restoration that you need in your finances. You're going to have the reconciliation that's needed, and you're going to have the restitution that's needed. There's some of you under the sound of my voice, the enemy has literally tried to rob you. Even over the last 6-8 months, the enemy has tried to rob you. But you're here today to hear this word and to recognize that God is saying that there's a 3-month window that's open. And He's saying to you, believe me for restoration, reconciliation, and restitution. There's some of you that have been challenged in your physical body. The enemy has been fighting you and fighting you and fighting you. You need to believe that in the same way for restoration, for reconciliation, and restitution. God is moving in His church. God is moving in this house. God is moving in your life. God is moving in your affairs. God is moving in your situation.